This week's guest is guitarist, artist, and full-time engineer, Erica Horn. Since posting her videos online in 2020, Erica has grown exponentially on platforms such as TikTok and Instagram. But interestingly, as she explains herself in the episode, music is not what she currently does full-time. So everybody knows what my first question is at this point, because I ask it every single time to every single person that comes on. But how did you first get into playing guitar? What was the story behind guitar and music? How did that come into your life?
It's quite a long story. I will try to keep
it
short.
Okay. We've got time.
You know, it was actually not my decision, like really on decision to start music. I started when I was like 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
Because of my sister. She's a violinist. So she's 4 years older than me. So I guess that's what my parents say. Like I was always at that, when I was like 2 years old, always trying to get her violin and just play. Mm-hmm. But so they thought maybe she likes also to play. So I started with this classical music path, you know, like going to the music academy, learning theory, all of these subjects, you know, you having your private teacher practicing to be like a solo violin player mm-hmm. someday. And at some point I didn't like it anymore. Like when I was like 8 years old, something like this.
Yeah.
I told my parents like, no, this is not what I really want to do. So they were like, okay, but now what do you want to do? Like, you should do something, you know? And then they just, like, tell me, I mean, I told them, like, okay, now I want to paint something. And then they got me to painting classes. And then my mom then just tried to, you know, get me back to music at some point, because I didn't want to do anything to do with music anymore. I think it was because of all of this classical music pressure, you know, you have to be the best. And you have to be so disciplined, you have to study so much. So I think that was the reason, you know. But after the time, my mom, I always like to sing. And I don't show that actually on social media, but I do sing.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah. And my mom was like, why don't you take singing classes, you know, like maybe something you would like. So she tried, you know, to like find a way for me to go back into music. So I started singing lessons like when I was 9 years old. And then My teacher and my mom, they were literally trying to take me back to an instrument. And they were like, you know, singers should play an instrument. They should play guitar, they should play piano. You know, you can choose whatever you want, but you should definitely play an instrument. And I was like, no, I don't want to. You know, it was totally, I really didn't want to play any instrument. And at the end, they convinced me. So I started playing guitar, I think like when I was 10 years old. Something like that. And I really liked it. And I kept playing. You know, it was so different. It was so relaxed where I was studying. Like this academy was not so like the other, you know, classical path. It was more like, you know, you have an assignment, you learn until next week. And if you don't, doesn't matter. You will have to pay. You're still paying, you know, so it's on you. You know, so I didn't feel the pressure and I really liked it. And I kept, you know, playing guitar until now.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I think to come from, because you started at such a young age, to come from the classical environment, like you said, I've never been, but I can imagine it's very strict and regimented and not very enjoyable at all. So then for you going to play the guitar and like you said, you know, weekly lessons and you're paying for them makes you want to learn, probably, you know, made you stick to the guitar.
Exactly, yeah. And I think maybe personality-wise, you know, like, maybe for me it wasn't the right thing, like, that kind of teaching, you know, and this pressure, you know, because you're in this classical music, you have to be the best if you want to get some. You have to study for contest. You have to... Mm-hmm. That's really a lot of pressure. But I looked at my sister, for example. For her, it was nice. You know, I think this is just, like, kind of how strong each person is in this kind of things. I don't know.
You're so right. It definitely is a personality thing, because I hate competition and competitive environments against each other, so that would be horrible. I couldn't think of anything worse. I used to study acting, and it was similar, probably not close to how bad classical, like being educated in classical environments is, but I hated the competition of everything. Everyone was trying to be better than everyone else. And
but there you have also a lot of all of these castings and
yes.
And yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, and it, yes. I found that it was just destroying my confidence because, like, people are very outwardly comparing you to this person, that person, and you have to be aware of your the things that you're good at and also the things that you're bad at. Like, you have to be very aware. Yeah. In my head, I was like, oh, I'm really bad at that. And it would tear my confidence down because it was something I was, like, constantly reminded of that I needed to get
better.
Did
you do, like, many castings or things like this?
I stopped before it got serious. So I did 2 years of performing arts from 16 to 18. Yeah. And then I could have gone to an acting conservatoire and done all the auditions. But by that point, I'd already had 2 years of comparing myself to everybody else and all the competition and my acting teacher telling me I'm really bad at this and I need to do this. And yeah, it just wasn't fun. And I knew it wasn't for me, much like you did at, what was it, 8 years old or something. You knew that you didn't want it.
Yeah.
It definitely is a personality thing. I think we're very similar on that one.
I'm curious about, like, when you see the movies, when people are doing castings, like, mostly for dancing or for, like, acting. I'm curious if this is true. Like, this is, you always see this weird competition behind, like, everyone looks you, like, so suspicious, like, I'm better than you. And
so true. And for silly things as well, you could just be told no for the color of your hair or, like, color of your skin. Sounds like I'm being racist, but, like, for certain castings, they'll literally straight up be like, you're too small, you're too much on the bigger side, your hair's too long, wrong color. Yeah. Stuff like that. I hate all of it. It just
that's the bad part.
It is all like that. The little things could, like, stop you from getting a casting and then you'd become really insecure about it. So with your singing, I'm really intrigued that you said that you did singing for a while. Is there a reason that you don't do it on Instagram?
I don't know. I there is actually no reason. But if I think about it, I know that what I do now, it's what it let me, you know, to grow there, like on social media. So before, I used to combine a little bit. So if you, like, go to my very old post, you will find me singing because I was combining them a little bit, you know, like mostly guitar and then a little bit singing and then back to guitar, you know. But there was a time I know that this content works for me, and so I kept doing that, you know. So I literally stopped singing, but like, actually, this year, I was actually thinking about that. Like, I should maybe now try to combine both, you know?
Definitely.
Like, yeah.
But I have to, like... It's already... Your playing is already so impressive that if you were to combine that with singing, you'd, like, crazy. Everybody would be like, what the hell this woman is?
Thank you.
Wow.
I would love to try. I tried it once. And I thought, like, very bad. Failed, but it's practice. I know, like, I have to find also the right songs, and I also have to start practicing singing again, because it's like I don't practice it every day, so I already notice I have lost, you know, techniques and everything. But yeah, but I do sing live, like when I play live with my group. I sing a lot, you know. It's actually quite the opposite as I do online, like, you know. I'm playing guitar and singing, so
Oh, wow. How many of you are there in that group? What?
We are four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are four. And it's actually my sister, my brother-in-law.
I thought it was a family thing. I thought it was.
And another friend, which she was in the orchestra with my sister back in Venezuela, you know, so she lives here now. So I always played with my sister and my brother-in-law. We had a group in Venezuela, and we used to play, like, in weddings and events, you know, like, got paid for that, you know. People just, you know, paid us and we go and play in events, you know, like, kind of these acoustic vibes, you know. Also we did, like, rock nights, acoustic with a violin, things like this. But then I was away and they were still in Venezuela, and when they came to Germany, I was in Austria because I did my degree in Austria. And then now that I'm here, because I found a job here, we are all together. So we were like, okay, let's play again together and see what we can do. And then this friend, she's a singer, very good singer. And she was also there, and we're like, okay, well, let's just do something all together, you know. So it's like kind of like a combination, like, with Latin music, but also with, you know, English covers, blues, things like this. it's interesting.
So do you do gigs a lot? Do you do performances a lot with them?
Not much right now, not so much. But we are, you know, trying to get here. Like, we don't know people still here.
Yeah.
In the musical environment, so we are just like step by step trying to find, you know, the persons and places where we could play. Mm-hmm. But we actually play a lot in a music store. They give us also the opportunity and the slot, you know. They do like live sessions or like live concerts inside of the music store. It's quite a nice idea.
So that we have played nice idea
a few times, you know. So you are in the music store and you have the customers, and it's great. Yeah, we do that sometimes for free.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just a very, very low amount. I mean, none of us actually lives from music, you know. The four of us, we all have a job. So for us, it's not like crazy important to get
money
from that. So we are enjoying it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they give us less, it's nice, it's okay. If they give us more, even better. But yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
That's really interesting that you're all working. That was one thing I really wanted to ask you about. What? Because I know you've literally been working today. People won't know this, but the time we're recording this, it's like 7:20 in Germany and 6:20 here. Now. So you've worked a full day and now you're sat down talking to me. What is it that you do for work then?
I am a full-time engineer.
Wow.
Yes, I studied engineering. I have a bachelor degree and a master's degree in engineering. So I did robotics. So I know about programming robots and stuff like this.
What? You're so cool. That's incredible.
Thank you. It was not what I wanted to study, but I did it because I had the opportunity and I like it. You know, I don't want to do this all my life. I mean, I really want to pursue something musical, you know, but right now I do that, and I have a full-time job. Like, I am 8 hours in the office and then I come back home and then I start doing music after that.
That is really so impressive, and I'm not even trying to over compliment you here, but that's like to Thank have you. the music ability you have and then also working in engineering is absolutely insane. Like, that's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I try to, but it can be frustrating. Sometimes it's like, I don't want anymore. Like, I just want to do music, you know? But I'm trying that, you know? I'm trying to find, I don't know right now my path or what I want to do musically. And I think I'm scared also about it, you know? Because until now, I was doing my when I was doing the bachelor and master degree, I had the opportunity to work also as engineer at the same time, you know, as a working student, you know? But I already was having the experience to be in a big company, and you know, you have this stability, like 100% stability economically, you know.
Yeah.
And you are there, and then I finished the degree, and then I found a job, luckily, you know, right away. And I remember in 2020, I had so many friends, which they are 100% musicians. I mean, the career is music, and they were struggling so much back then, like they didn't have any income, anything. And I think that that's still on my mind, you know, like this kind of,
it's understandable. Yeah
But I do want to, you know, I do want to like pursue music, but I think I'm going in the baby steps, you know, way, like
I get why it's scary. And 2020 was a different time as well, so your friends struggling back then was obviously mostly due to what was going on in the world at the time.
But Yes.
I can understand your position when you're in like a full-time job. Like you said, you've got the economic stability, you've got money coming in, you enjoy your job. If you didn't enjoy your job, it'd be a different thing. But
yeah,
I completely get it. Because I did a degree, I did an English degree, and I finished that a year ago now. And then when I finished that, I thought to myself, I was going to go and get a graduate job. And then and then I actually never ended up getting one and decided to do this full-time.
But like, thankfully
I live at home and I'm able to do that,
but that's so brave. I think that's brave when people do that, you know.
Yeah I don't know if I can take credit for being completely brave, because like I said, I do live at home and I'm in a very privileged position that like my parents, you know, are fine with me doing that. But again, it is still a big, leap to take, and I'm working on it. But like, from my perspective, you could have a music career whenever you want. You could have a career in, even if it was just social media stuff, I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in, but with the following that you have, because you have a huge TikTok, don't you, as well?
Yes.
And the talent that you have as well, like having the time to put it more into, I have no doubt, and don't like just take my
opinion.
Yeah. I have no doubt that if you were to give up your job and go straight into it full time, that you'd be really successful. But again, it's up to you, and I get why it'd be scary.
Definitely, yeah. But it's something. But I am sure that I want that. You know, I mean, I'm sure that in the future, I don't see myself at all in an office. You know,
no, I don't see you in an office at all. Even though being an engineer is incredibly cool.
So, yeah, I don't know. Now it's been, until now, it has been kind of a hobby, music. But at the same time, I have getting these opportunities, which I don't even look for, you know, which is also awesome.
And because people reach out to you, don't they?
Yes. And it's great. It's really great. And that's what I think, like, I can do something with it, you know.
Mm. And I definitely can.
I live now with my parents right now, also. I went out from my country when I was 17, and I came to Germany, and then I went to Austria to study, so I was alone. Like, I have been, like, 7 years, like, by my own, you know, like, no one here. My sister was also not here, you know. And now that I found a job here, like, in the city, my parents are living here, so I'm living with them. So I also get this, as you say, this support. You know, and it's also I get my family always supported me about what I do, and also musically. So if I would say today, like, you know, I want tomorrow to be a musician, I will quit today. They will support me. You know, I won't have someone telling me you're not going to make it. You know, which is great.
That is a really important thing as well. And my parents are the exact same. Like, even right now, they're being very supportive because I'm going through a time where I'm just trying. I'm like literally just starting. I'm not making huge amounts of money. But, you know, the hope is that it would be a sustainable thing for me. If it takes a couple years to get there. It takes a couple years to get there. But again, they're really supportive. And it's really nice that your parents are too. And I genuinely if you were to literally say, I want to stop and I want to do music full time, I have no doubt in my mind that you'd be very successful.
Thank you.
Not that you need the validation. But genuinely, I have no doubt, because the talent that you have, and again, the following, I just think it'd be... But do you worry if you were to do it full time that it'd make you stop loving playing and, you know, make it feel like a chore?
Not at all. I'm not worried about that, but I don't know if that will happen. But I'm not worried. Like, if it is not something that I think about, you know. It may happen, because I know people that have told me, like, yeah, when I started doing this full time, I started losing my passion or something because you had this pressure. And I'm like, okay, it's totally understandable. But it's not in my mind. I mean, it's not a worry for me. Like, I think if that would happen, I think there can be ways how to manage it, you know.
Mm. No, I agree. That's a great mindset to have. I think it's inevitable in a way, because it happens to me sometimes. And if you were to do it, it'd probably happen to you sometimes, where you feel like, oh, I really don't want to do this. Or, you know, practicing isn't fun anymore. There will be moments like that, probably.
Definitely. But, I have these moments now, and I don't even do this full time, you know.
Exactly. But knowing it is half of the battle, because your background as well, like doing the classical thing from a really young age, and you know, having the guitar lessons, that's probably really equipped you to know that that's probably going to happen and know how to deal with it.
I don't
think that would be an issue for you.
Do you have now, I mean, you are now fully focused on music, right? Totally.
Yeah,
but you have also these podcast projects. Do you have also other projects, like, in mind?
Not for projects right now. I was working on some merch stuff, and then that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to.
So that's
still something I want to do, but it's not like at the top of my priority list. The podcast is pretty much up there, because I really enjoy, I love talking to people, and if I could, you know, make this a full-time thing, that would be really cool for me.
I wanted to say, like, I'm talking to you as I know you, like, Like, I feel I know you, but we have never met before.
It's crazy, isn't it? I was really, really excited to speak to you. I love having other women on my podcast anyway, but I just knew that you would just be a really interesting and cool person to talk to and have cool experiences. The fact that I still can't get over the fact that you're an engineer. That's
I mean, it's funny because really people doesn't know that because I don't share that also. Like,
no.
Yeah, I don't really share too much about my life or what I do, you know. It's purely music. Like, I just post the video and that's it. And it's funny, people always have this reaction like, what? Like, I could maybe imagine you studied literature or you studied, I don't know, design, something like this, but engineering. Yeah.
I think it's because you do two things that are extremely difficult, like being a musician and the level that you're at, very difficult. Being an engineer and going through like the bachelor's and the master's is also something incredibly difficult. So it's quite mind-blowing because they're two things that a lot of people would dedicate a lifetime to just on one, whereas you've like got both. So it's really interesting.
It's crazy. You know, I wanted to study, I said to you, like, I started painting when I quit violin and I wanted to study. I really love painting. I mean, those things behind me are actually from me. I do a lot of artistical things, you know, and I really wanted to study 3D animation, you know. I wanted to do movies, cartoon movies.
Oh, that's
you
so
know?
Cool.
But it was so expensive. Now there is like a lot of like in public universities and everything, like they have more degrees about it. But when I came to the first time, it was only private, so it was super expensive. I mean, it was really impossible. So I ended up with engineering. Like, it's really like a totally, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
180 complete different. If you could have a career doing art stuff, would you do that as well? Is that an option?
Would love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
I forgot about the art because it's in your bio on Instagram as well. I did check it out. I knew that you did some art stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do it right now so much because the guitar is consuming my time after work a lot.
Yeah.
And my dad sometimes tells me, when are you going to paint again? You know, I miss that you're painting. You're only with your guitar. Please, you stop for 1 minute and paint something.
No.
And I'm like, I will do it someday.
There's not enough time in the day. You're just too busy.
No, I hope so. Normally I start practicing like at 8 p.m. or something like this. 7, 8
wow.
p.m.
Do you do that every day at that time?
Yeah, mostly. But it's not like a routine, you know? But I do come home normally like 5 o'clock. I am at home already. So, you know, and then I just relax, chill a bit, you know, after work. Maybe I take a walk or take a shower, whatever, you know. Then I have dinner and then, you know, after that, it's like I sit down and then, okay, what I'm going to do with music, whatever it is, you know, if it's a video or if it's practicing for a gig, things like this. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. So your videos, how long, what's your process with them? Because you do a lot of covers, but it's like completely rearranged and composed completely differently. So how do you approach them and how long does it take you to do them?
It actually takes me, normally during the week after work, I do stuff for Instagram. Like, normally I post on Friday, so I just try to, during the week, do something for Friday. If I cannot make it, I just do it for next week, you know? But I just still try to keep that on track, you know? Like, I just try my best to do it. So normally I just, one day, like on Monday, I need to check the song, and that takes me hours, you know, which song am I going to play? But there is also, like, am I going to do a trendy song? Normally I choose songs that people may know, which is very time consuming because maybe you think, yeah, everyone knows this song, maybe I can do this, but maybe in your mind you're like, I could do this one too, but no one knows this song, so like, which is sad because
it is a bit sad.
Yeah, you should do what you feel like you want to play, you know. And then I just listen to the song like a few times and I just try to figure out the chords, and I try to do it by ear, but I'm the worst. So if I can't, I just Google the chords. Easy. So
I'm the same. I can't lie. Yeah. I do try to do it by ear. Sometimes I don't have the energy, and sometimes my ear's not working the way I want it to. So I just Google what I need to do.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it works, but normally for me it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I just try it just in case, you know. Yeah. And then I try to just play the song as it is. You know, I just hear what they are doing or what the guitar is doing or piano, whatever. I just play along with it. And then I actually always start with the, after that, with the bass. Like, I really check out the bass. Mm. I try to hear it. Or if I cannot hear it well, or I Google it a little bit, or maybe I check for covers, bass covers, and check what they do. But I don't do so much, like, crazy things. It's more about the bass note and the root notes. What are they playing? You know, mm-hmm. because it's, I think in fingerstyle guitar, it's very important. Like, if you don't have a nice bass marking the chords, it will feel very empty. So
yeah,
it's like, so this is the first thing I do. And then I just try to do this melody combination, you know, with a bass. And then at the end, I just start combining the percussion stuff. So, but that part, it's a little more difficult because you have to maybe rearrange what you did. So, you know, you have to like free your hands and see how can I get this hand free to do percussion, you know, while I'm doing the melody with the other hand. So it's a little bit of engineering.
Literally, that literally is what it is. That's probably why you're so good at it. You have like, and this is the thing, like, not everyone can do what you do. You'll have incredible guitar players that know their stuff and know all their theory, but like, if they watch one of your videos and try to replicate what was going on, they probably couldn't do it because there's so much going on and there's so much thought that you've put behind, like, how to add the percussion into and the bass lines and everything.
But you know, this style, like this percussion style, it's very easy to impress people, mostly online, you know, because it's not something that everyone knows. In comparison with someone playing electric guitar, you know, you're doing an electric guitar cover, and it's something you may saw if you see it live or you see, you know, people play it, you know. But fingerstyle guitar and percussive fingerstyle guitar is also something that you don't usually see live around if you go somewhere. Mm-hmm. On a pop or whatever, it's nothing that you will see. So if you go online and you never saw that before, you get impressed because, you know, okay, this person is doing everything at the same time, you know.
Yeah, it's
a nice style for like online stuff, you know.
Yeah,
but once you do it and once you learn it, it's actually not so complicated, but it sounds complicated, you know. It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could say that about a lot of things, even just learning an instrument. Or, like, there's these videos that go around on TikTok where they do what beginner piano players are impressed by, what my parents are impressed by. Have you seen them? Yeah. And then they'll play something that, like, what actual professional piano players are impressed by.
Yes, I love those videos.
And it's all different, It's true, because you play the instrument, you have a better understanding of what takes more skill than something else, whereas someone who has never played an instrument, is a beginner or is just watching your videos, is going to be so mesmerized by what you're doing, where you're sat there like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think with everything, like, you can do, everything seems complicated after you do it and you have the time and you practice it and then you know, like, as everything, actually, everything in life, it's like this. I mean, we know how to walk because we have practicing since we are like 1 year old, you know? So
definitely.
It's like this.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a little bit about when you pick your covers, it takes you a long time because there'll be a song you like, but you don't know if it'll do well because it's not known and not popular. Do you find posting on social media, do you find it that sometimes it gets you in a negative headspace? Because it can sometimes be full of really judgmental and, you know, comparison, like we said, with the classical stuff. What's your experience been with it? Do you find it hard to be on social media all the time because you're forced essentially to compare yourself to other people?
I do not really compare myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been the opposite. I think I get very inspired by other musicians. And I also get supported, you know, like at least with the instrumentalist, you know, like as you play your bass, I play guitar, others, many other people do that, and you kind of see when you comment on each other post and you feel the support from each other, and not really like a competition. But of course, you never know what's going on their minds of other persons. But why do I know it's a little bit toxic is the part of the growth. You know, you want to grow, and yeah. And there is all the time this thing, as I said, with the song. I try to pick a song that everyone knows because I know that I have more probability that the video goes out there, you know, and the people comment, and you get kind of like locked on that, you know.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Because you are looking for growth, you know, and I think it's a little difficult to go out of that, you know, or to find the balance of choosing really what you want to, or are you choosing really what others, you know, want to see or expect from you? But I think social media is like this also, you know, that's why you are doing it also for others and for you, but also for the people who are listening to you. So always right now, before I was doing only that, and right now I just try to make a balance between trendy songs and songs that I just want to play, you know. So kind of like I do maybe two songs that I want to play, then I do like a trendy song, you know.
Yeah.
And with TikTok, sometimes they have, you know, these trendy dances, you know, that people are dancing a song which is super trendy. So when that happens, I try to do a cover of that song, for example, so I know that it will help me, for example, on TikTok, you know. And then I do this once, and then next week I just do whatever I want, and then I just try to keep that balance, you know.
Yeah,
but definitely. Like it's a little sad sometimes, because sometimes I realize, okay, I'm doing this because I enjoy really doing my Instagram videos. I learn so much, you know, doing each week an arrangement, you know, and every time I learn a new technique, and or I learned something yesterday or this week, and now I want to apply it to my arrangement. So it's constant learning, you know, each week.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's also sad that sometimes it's just locked, you know. I was talking to my mom a few days ago, and I was like, you know, I don't know songs. I don't know full songs. I just know 20-second songs, you know. And when people tell me sometimes, play something, and I'm like, okay, what do I play, you know? Because you're expecting me to play these fingerstyle arrangements, you know, but I can play to you maybe 10 seconds of one of the songs I did.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah, it's I'm actually, that's a goal for me right now, like to take my favorite arrangements and to do like full versions of it, so I can record them and also play them, you know. Yes, for my favorite ones, you know, to pick like 5 or 6 and do like a full version of it. But it's crazy, you know, I've noticed it, like people a lot, like play something and I know 10 seconds. It's so sad.
It's so relatable though. It's so funny you say that. I've just recently, this past weekend, I filmed my first full length cover for the first time in maybe nearly 2 years. And because you get so used to doing, my videos probably average about 40 seconds long. You get so used to doing such short videos that, like, now doing full-length covers is so daunting and so scary. And and I hate that because it makes me feel like I'm not skilled enough. Like, as a bassist, you should be able to play full-length songs. Why are you only comfortable playing 30, 40 seconds? That's ridiculous.
True. But, you know, it is hard to transform, like, a full song in 40 seconds, you know. This is also something that not everyone can do, you know. I've noticed, like, a lot of people play everything, but, you know, you have it's this difference, you know, it's a social media content or is it like a live content. It also happens to me when I want to, I mean, I've been working on that, you know, taking arrangements and trying to make the full version, and then I hear them, I just record myself for fun just to hear what I'm doing. And when I listen to them, I feel they are like so, like, I don't know how to say, like so linear, you know, that there is not so much dynamics in a 4 minutes arrangement, you know?
Yeah. So one thing I did want to ask you about, because I don't often get other females on this podcast with me, I just wanted to ask you, what has your experience been in the music industry as a woman? Do you feel like people take you less seriously because you're a woman, or do you get hate comments based on the fact that you're a woman playing guitar? And what's your experience like with all those?
Yeah, a lot. Like, I don't really get a lot of hate comments, luckily. Mm-hmm. I think most of my comments are super positive, you know. Mm. But I do have got, like, DMs where people telling me. I actually recently got one. I'm trying to remember. It was something like, you know, you are not the best, obviously, you know. But he just, you know, he or she, I don't know. There was no picture on there. And yeah. I was like, you are not the best, but, you know, as a woman, you are okay. And I'm like, okay, what are you telling me?
I'm not. That's the always best. Their not... go-to. They always say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you've got that also a lot.
Yeah, people don't say as much to me anymore. I think it tends to be on YouTube, my YouTube shorts, people will say that like, oh, you know, you play well for a woman, or like, for a girl, you're not bad. And I'm like, okay, no. But what are people inappropriate? Do you get many? Because some people are just creepy. And I spoke to Daisy about this on the podcast that I did with her. Like, we'd get these emails of people requesting, like, pictures for things and, you know, always commenting on our appearance and
all of definitely. That as well. There are a lot of creepy persons out there, you know. I don't get emails, but in the DMs, you know, you get the requests. And I do read my DMs, you know. Maybe people think that I don't, but I do read them, you know. Just I don't answer to all of them.
It would be hard to answer to all of them.
Yes. But I do read them, you know. Mm. And yeah, sometimes there are like crazy people, you know, you're asking. A lot of people ask for photos of my feet, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Which is interesting.
Oh, this whole feet thing, I never understood it. I still don't, I'm never going to understand it.
Yes, it's crazy. And I just delete those messages. I don't even, but it's so crazy, you know. And on my posts, I don't really get too much comments on my appearance. I mean, I do get, when I get comments about my appearance, it's about my teeth. Like, they are, like, yellowish. So people comment.
What?
Yeah.
How dare they? That is so rude. Yes, that's so unnecessary.
But you know, it's so funny. Like, there was one post I did, I think, it was this year. And somehow it went super viral on Instagram. Like, it got to be a trendy sound. So a lot of people started commenting on the post, and there was one guy commenting about my teeth. And then I was just looking at the comments, reading them and responding. And I saw this comment, but then I see like 50 replies or something like this from other people defending me. And I was like, okay, that's sweet, you know?
It's really,
but I don't know. It's like, I mean, this person is taking maybe 2 times of his life to tell me this, so.
Wow, yeah, that's, he's got an issue, clearly.
Yes, so.
Yeah, that's but the thing about.
Not much, like, people actually doesn't comment too much on my appearance, yeah.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. That's the thing about going viral, though, as well. When pages used to repost, like, stuff of mine that would do well, that have way more followers than me, I had to stop looking at the comments because the people are so brutal.
Yes, like, also because they are not your following. It's another page, so they are super, like, subjective, and they just say whatever they want because it's not to you directly, you know? So, it's also that.
I think one of my Wolfpack covers did well, and they were getting reposted on pages. Oh, it was... I hated that I uploaded this. I did a Willow Smith one, and then... this cover was like guitar and bass, but I hated the angle I filmed it at. For some reason, the guitars are better Instagram page. Yeah. I think that's what it's called. They kept reposting that specific one. And every time I just couldn't look at the comments because, like, they're brutal. They're really not nice. Whenever somebody reposts something of me, I purposely don't look at the comments because...
I also don't. I used to because, you know, at the beginning, you are so... It's like a hype, you know, you just start getting...
You're excited, it's cool, and it's like, oh my god.
You have never got this before, and you want to read all of them, and you want to answer all of them. And you also want to answer the comments, or at least read them, what people are saying about you in another post, you know. Mm. And it's crazy. I also stopped doing that. Yeah,
there's certain things I think you learn, like you said, because you get so excited. And I definitely was when the pages, they don't do it so much anymore, but I guess I have a following of my own, so it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this was before I was like on 10K and one video was doing well and they'd repost it and I'd like obsess over the likes and the comments because it's your first one. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. How long, I'm interested in that. How long did it take you to get to those 10K? Like,
How long were you, when did you first start posting on that account?
2020, I think, as many of us.
Mine was 2022 as well. Mine was also 2020.
And the first year, I wasn't even thinking about doing this in 2020. I was just posting stuff, but I have never in my mind thought I would be doing this like more of a work thing. Never, you know. But I started doing, I think in we were in lockdown, I think it was in April or May, I started a little bit. And that year, I already had 2,000 followers, but you know, 3 people you follow, they follow you from friends, you know, no more than that. And I think until next year, August or something like this, I got my first 10K. So I think one video per week during 1 year. And I mean, for me, I think it's long, you know, because I've seen others that does it quicker, you know.
Yeah. Well, were you very consistent in that? Was it every single week you're uploading for a year? Yeah. Was it?
Yes.
Wow. I can't say that was the same for me. I probably started posting around the same time as you, but I definitely wasn't very consistent in posting. Not as consistent as you must have been. I don't really remember. I think it probably took me the same amount of time, but I think I started with, 100 followers on that account when I started posting.
Yeah,
so I think the growth was quick, but you say that yours was long. I know people that have had accounts since like 2017 and have been doing it for way, way longer. So I think...
Yes, definitely.
I think in their eyes, yours would have been really fast, fast now. And you have a great following now. So.
Yeah, yes. I mean, then in 2021, it started going up. And last year was when it really... It was very fast, you know, like if it's... It was 1 year until this 10K, and then it took me half of a year until 30K, you know? So let's say it's 1 year and a half.
Same and then it was for me, I think.
6 months, which just was 30K to 100K. It was, I don't know how that happened.
Wow, it's crazy how it works. It really is.
Yeah, I really don't understand. But yeah, I was very lucky that sometimes I do covers and the artist see it and you know they repost so this helps a lot, but it's I think it's just lucky, you know, because this artist gets so many videos and tags, you know.
Yeah,
maybe I was just in the right time and then they saw it and then, you know, so this helped
maybe
me a lot too.
Yeah, I think artists see more than we think they do, even with huge followings. I do think they probably see more than I think it probably was because your videos are so unique that they couldn't not post it. But I definitely think they see more than we tell ourselves that they do. Just because social media works weirdly. There's even with loads of followers, you can still kind of keep up with what's going on.
Yes. Yes. Do you have like, when you started posting, it was already on your goal to do this? Like later on, work?
No. I don't know what my intention with it was. I just thought it was fun, and I think I definitely wanted to get my followers up, but I never, it was never in my head for it to be my job. Never ever thought that it would be my job, and that wasn't why I was doing it. I just wanted to do something for fun, and it was cool creating the covers. I of course wanted people to see it and wanted to gain followers, but
otherwise you wouldn't do it online. That's
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. But I never ever would have thought that I'd be sat here today talking on a podcast that I created myself and having 50,000 followers. Like I never would have thought that I'd be doing it full time. But yeah. No, I don't think it was there with the intention, but I'm here now and that's cool.
Yeah. I mean the opportunities come, you know, for some reason. And yeah. It was the same for me also. Like I was just doing it. I was doing, like in 2020, I was doing my studies. I was doing master's degree. It was online, so I was working also from home in the company. So I had like plenty of time, you know, to do music, you know. And I would just upload something, you know, and it went well, you know, like my friends liked it. And I was like, cool, I will do another one. I mean, it's very nice that people liked it, people I know, you know, because I had a private. And I was like, I will switch to public, you know, maybe other people can see. And I started, it was not consistent like the first 2 months. It was very like from time to time. But then I got lucky with one. Do you know Marcin? He's a very famous fingerstyle player right now online. He's this guy from Poland. He does this crazy fast classical
stuff. No, I don't think I do. Maybe if I saw a video, I might.
I definitely, I'm pretty sure you know him. Maybe you don't know his name because he's really literally everywhere.
So yeah, probably. Yes. I probably do.
Yes, yes, yes. And I did a cover of a classical arrangement. So I literally bought his tab and learned it, like literally how he did it, you know. And I posted it and he reshared it. And he's working with a brand and everything. And this one reached out to me and I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I never had the idea that that would happen. Like, and I even didn't know that was possible or that it was something you do.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, I want to support you and I think you can do great in the future. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And I was having these 2,000 followers and I was like, thanks to them, I realized that I could do this, you know. And when I got that guitar also have that I didn't have to post anything. It was more about support, you know.
That's really nice.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm so thankful for them, like really. Because when they got me, then I had the feeling like, okay, I don't have to, but I really feel like I want to, you know, now to show my guitar and to show more. And then I really started doing it, you know, like really consistency, you know, like I noticed, like I started following other musicians because I didn't, you know, and I started like realizing people do this like for a living.
Yeah. I know. So I didn't realize that either, that was a thing that you can do that. And it's so nice of that brand to just send you it and not expect anything back.
For me, it was like impressive. Like, they really trusted because, I mean, no one knew me.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy shared reposted, but yeah.
It's so refreshing that the brand did that because the brands, like nowadays, the way that it works is I give you something, you have to promote for me. Like people don't just out of the kindness of their hearts give you something and not expect anything back. Yes. That's one thing I'm have little patience with now. I've recently been working or like talking to brands who are just expecting you to like create content for them for free just for like swapping and changing of stuff, and it's so draining. And I'm so tired of working with people that just want to see what they can get away with and like you know, be cheeky and you know, all of that. So that's the negative side. Actually, I don't know what your experience with like brands and stuff is, but if you were to do it full time, I'm already sick of it. But
since I'm not doing it full time, it's for me fine. It's fun for me because I'm not changing anything. It's not changing anything also, you know, and it's fun to try new stuff, new instruments and, you know, try them out. And then I have them then and I can play with them when I want, you know, which is fine. But if I would do this full time, I don't know. I really don't know if this is something, as you said, like, because you also want to earn something. I mean, you're earning a product, you're earning a music instrument, which is very cool, but it's so much work behind, you know.
It is. So, for me, it's so insulting. It is when brands like reach out to me and say, and they won't even want to negotiate anything. They'll just straight up say, we want to give you this. And in exchange, we expect blah, 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 blah. But like you said, it's like, it's really insulting for me because I put so much time into filming, editing,
doing
all of that. And they don't even want to like, they essentially want me to work for free because those videos take so much time. Yeah, they're giving me their product, but like, that's nothing for them. That's just, you know, that won't cost them anything to send the product. But that's one thing I'm struggling with right now, is finding brands that actually genuinely want to work together to make good content.
Yes, and, exactly.
You know, it work for us both. I don't like the whole, you know, trying to see what you can get away with and, you know, manipulating things. And yeah, that's one thing.
For me, I did got like opportunities when they say like, which is, I think it's nice. Until now, I didn't like do this because I didn't have to. But if I would be working full time, maybe I would take the opportunities where they tell me like, hey, you know, we have this deal and maybe we can work out. You tell me how much do you need, you know, to, or which is your profit, you know, for this, you know, for this video or for another one, you know, per month or something. Yeah. It's a little bit more official, you know. I've gotten those opportunities as well. Until now, I didn't do them. Until now, I'm okay just to do it for free in this sense. Like, I just send me this and I'm happy about that. But if I do this full time, it would be really totally different. If it would be really living from this, I would be maybe thinking like you know.
Yeah, and I used to be the same, but again, when you work full time, it's like, I kind of have to, like, I say it in a polite way, but I'm like, okay, cool, love the idea, love the brand. Like, do you have a budget for this? I have to say it really politely. Obviously, you know, I'm interested in working with them, but then the brand will come back and say, no, we're just looking to do just a product exchange for now. And then I'm just like, I'm really sorry, but I'm not interested and I can't do it. Because it doesn't justify my time as much as I love the product. Well, it depends on what the product is. But sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant there because that's been something I've been really struggling with. I'm like, this is so tiring and so draining. But you learn, like you said, like you don't realise that this is even a thing and that you can make money doing these things. So it was...
And connections. Quite a realization. I mean, it's a very cool thing to do about social media. It can be toxic, if you let it. You know, if you don't let it, you can be happy with it. You know, I don't let it. I just do my stuff, what I like to do, and if people like it, they like it. If not, I'm also okay with that. And but there is a side of the hate comments. I received some very nice positive comments. Like, people sometimes DM me like, you know, I'm having such a hard time right now in my life, you know, and when I go home, I instantly search for your videos because you're cheery and you make me like happy, you know. I forget about I receive a lot of those messages and I'm like, this is cool, you know. And then this wins, you know, for me. So it's like, it can be, as I said, it can be toxic, but if you let it, you know. And I discovered that I can do this, you know, like also with these brands endorsements and everything, that I can do this also as a profession in the future and build connections. As I'm talking to you, for example, we wouldn't be talking if we wouldn't be there. Also with other many artists, you know, so you get these industry connections as well when you talk to brands. That when you work with them, maybe you can also come with them in the future if you have something, and if they let you, you know, give your ideas and everything. But I think it's a nice place to build connections, like in the industry.
I completely agree. And the positive comments as well, that's something that really is what makes me want to keep going, because we talk about, you're right, we do talk about hate comments all the time, but we also get so many lovely positive ones, like the DMs. I actually do, I don't respond to all of my DMs, but ones that I can tell that they've taken the time to, you know, write and are really genuine, like, I will respond to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do really great long paragraphs, you know.
They do, yeah.
With only
positive things. But you don't have time to respond to.
Like, only positive things. And I'm like, I just read and I'm like, this person took at least 5 minutes to write this stuff, you know. And I'm... So I don't reply to all of them, but I'm so grateful. Like, because this is the way you, when you read to them, you forget about the other ones and you're like, you know, that's why I'm doing this, you know. I mean, it's like, I am inspiring them somehow when you receive these comments, and they actually are inspiring me to keep going for them, you know. So I think it's kind of like a exchange.
Yeah, it really is. Yes. No, I really like that. I think... Yeah, I think that's a really nice place to end here. I do have one last question for you, but I do agree the comments and the exchange and keeping it going really is kind of like the thing to keep it all positive and have a healthy relationship with social media. So thank you, Erica, for taking the time. Last question. It is a bit of a weird question, and I do just want to tie to like the title of my podcast. But if you had to choose a song that you think best represented, that was your soundtrack to success, so best represented you and where you've got to right now, what song do you think you'd choose?
I mean, I could have two answers.
No, you could have two answers.
Yes. Once is, I have a song, which is the one I told you before, this classical piece.
I thought you might say that one.
Yeah, with this song, it made me realize that I can do something with it, not just a hobby, that I could just pursue something and reach a goal, you know, in music. So I think that song's, this cover actually led me where I am right now, you know, and what I want to be, probably. The other song, it's actually a song that I struggle a lot with my timings, with my time, like in general, you know, with my full-time job and everything. I want to do so much.
Yeah.
But I don't have the time. And I feel frustrated a lot that I am behind. You know, it's. I think it's normal for everyone to feel like that. You feel behind, or you feel you're not enough, or you don't have the time to practice to get to a level or to get where you want, and you feel like there is like a wall, like you are not getting there.
Yeah, and definitely.
Yes, I think it's a normal thing for everyone. And there is a song that once I was like really, you know, I was so sad about that. I was so lost. Like, what am I doing? Like, everything is wrong. Like, I do this job, I do this, but I'm not doing anything like fully. So, you know? And I was just scrolling Spotify looking for songs, and I clicked on one, and it was literally hit my situation at the point. And I was listening to it, like, oh my God, this is what I needed to hear. And every time I feel like this, I go to this song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is called Vienna from Billy Joel. I don't know if you know the song.
I don't think I do. Maybe if I heard it, I'd know. Again, I'm horrible with names, so probably not.
But just Google it. Check out the lyrics. It basically says, like, it's the song, it's like talking to a boy which is like super ambitious, and he says, like, you have to slow down, because everything, I mean, you are not getting anything before your time, something like this. It says, like, everyone has his time, and you just have to keep going and not be like crazy. So every time when I feel like this, like, I just listen to that song, like, it makes me feel very good, like, yeah, it's normal. I just have to wait for my time, keep working and wait, you know?
Yeah, I think this is your time. I don't think I just know for a fact, if you were to give your engineering up and go for it today, that you'd be perfectly fine. And I know it's you give yourself a hard time for it, but to do a full-time job and then come home and do the Instagram stuff at the same time, like, that's not easy to do. Like, yes. I do this full-time and then I'm constantly, yes, like, it makes me feel guilty because I have all this time in the day and I don't feel like I'm using it properly. And then I'll speak to someone like you who does a literal full-time job and then still finds time to do Instagram stuff is really cool. So that's like a really big achievement in itself. But
thank you.
When you're ready to take that jump, if you do take that jump of doing music full time, I would be here to support you as a friend in any way that I can.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
I would really love to play with you someday, like, really, like,
yeah,
and with other people, like, on Instagram, like, would be so cool to like meet them in person and and just play.
I'll have to say, you know what, if my social media stuff takes off and I do have like the time this takes off, I will come to Germany and we will film a video together. I'll bring the cameras, I'll bring my bass. Yeah, that's a goal. That's a goal. I need to get, yeah, I need to get everything in line and get everything started, and then I can come and visit you in Germany and we can do the video. And
yes,
yeah, that would be amazing. It really would.
Yes, would be really so cool.
Yeah, it would. Well, thank you, Erica, for taking the time to speak to me today. I know it's quite late and you have worked a full working day, but I've really enjoyed speaking to you.
Me too. Thank you.